Hello, my name is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Tracking the Odds, the Roulette Concert Archive, is a monthly hour-long radio special produced by Roulette Intermedium, roulette.org, and broadcast in partnership with Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM. The broadcasts feature selected highlights from Roulette's New York experimental music space dating from the early 1980s to the present. Thousands of rare, formative, and often unheard recordings by innovators and adventurous musicians populate the archive. Tracking the Odds airs the third Thursday of each month at 1 a.m. on WGXC and is archived at wavefarm.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Scribner's Catskill Lodge, a 38-room boutique hotel located in Hunter, offering a seasonal outdoor pool, weekend wellness programming, and nightly s'mores around the fire pits. Located at 13 Scribner Hollow Road, across the street from Hunter Mountain, 8 miles from the Forest Trails in Catskill Park, and 22 miles from the town of Woodstock. Scribner's is also home to the Prospect Restaurant and Bar, serving modern fare. Information at 518-628-5130 or at www.scribnerslodge.com.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, July the 27th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Former Trump lawyer and fixer Michael Cohen reportedly ready to tell Mueller that candidate Donald Trump knew about the Trump Tower Russia meeting in advance. Also on the Friday rundown, 300,000 petitioners call on Microsoft and its contract with ICE, and a judge mulls an injunction to stop 3D gun blueprints online. Topping our news, CNN had the scoop. Michael Cohen, President Trump's former personal attorney, claims that then-candidate Trump knew in advance about the June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower, in which Russians were expected to offer his campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton. They report Cohen is willing to make that assertion to special counsel Robert Mueller. Cohen's claim would contradict repeated denials by Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and their lawyers. CNN adds that Cohen alleges he was present, along with several others, when Trump was informed of the Russians' offer by Trump Jr. By Cohen's account, Trump approved going ahead with the meeting with the Russians, according to sources. A coalition of groups delivered more than 300,000 signatures to Microsoft on Thursday. They're calling on the company to end its contract with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Eric Tegadoff has our report.
The groups gathered at company headquarters in Redmond, as well as other locations across the country. Microsoft's nearly $19.4 million contract provides cloud computing services for ICE, supporting its office operations. Emma Pullman is with Some of Us, a group that pushes for corporate accountability, and was at the signature delivery.
We believe that Microsoft needs to take a stand right now, and it needs to end its contract. And not doing so is complicity with this violent and destructive and inhumane regime and set of policies.
In response to a request for comment, a Microsoft spokesperson points to CEO Satya Nadella's letter to employees, where he calls the practice of family separation at the border abhorrent and says the company's services don't aid the agency in this policy.
Seven other actions took place Thursday at Microsoft offices and businesses around the country. Adjunct or part-time professors from multiple states stop in Tampa today on their Free College Now bus tour.
The group is traveling through Florida cities asking voters to support political candidates who favor tuition-free college and student loan forgiveness. Organizers say the higher education system is broken in Florida and across the nation, leaving too many people in debt. Ryan Christopher Riley of Central Florida says he works four part-time jobs as an adjunct professor. His college debt is twice his yearly income, and he doesn't receive benefits. He says his situation is far from unique.
We need to address and recognize that we have a student loan debt crisis in our society. We would like to see some of those debts reduced or to have some sort of relief. And I think that we need at least a $15 minimum wage and union rights for all campus employees, absolutely.
Tuition-free college has been a subject of national debate, garnering support mostly from Democrats, while Republicans have pushed legislation that would cut the amount of student financial aid to save federal dollars. Tennessee was among the first states to offer free college tuition. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Florida adjunct faculty members and other low-wage workers invited their peers from other states to join them on the nine-city bus tour. Meantime, Roz Brown tells us a telephone and email campaign in Minnesota and other Midwest states is aimed at teachers, encouraging them to drop out of their union.
It's thought to be the result of a Supreme Court decision last month that struck down laws in many states, including Minnesota, that allow unions to negotiate teacher contracts and in return collect a fair share fee to cover the costs of collective bargaining. Teachers in Minnesota and Michigan report receiving phone calls from a telemarketing campaign known as My Pay, My Say. Education Minnesota President Denise Specht is confident teachers won't be intimidated and won't quit their unions.
These are the people who don't want to see educators making any more money. They want to privatize public education. They don't want us going to the Capitol speaking up against vouchers or for smaller class sizes. It's to take away workers' voice.
The My Pay, My Say campaign is organized by the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. I'm Roz Brown.
Typical teacher union fees can run about $1,000 per year and are automatically deducted from their paychecks. And finally, the age of the downloadable gun may be upon us as a Texas federal judge weighs whether to stop the online posting of blueprints to make untraceable firearms. Suzanne Potter reports gun violence prevention groups asked for an injunction at a last-ditch hearing on Thursday.
The Trump administration recently settled a lawsuit clearing the way for the company Defense Distributed to post the material starting August 1st. The plans would allow anyone with access to a 3D printer to make a gun, including an AR-15, the type used in dozens of mass shootings. David Chipman, a former ATF agent who is now with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, says this could circumvent background checks and make it impossible for police to link a gun to the person who used it after a shooting.
I think the greatest fear is a very serious, violent criminal who couldn't go into a store and pass a background check, that they would now be able to buy a printer and print a gun at home outside of the entire awareness of law enforcement.
New Jersey's attorney general has threatened imminent legal action if Defense Distributed doesn't withdraw its plan to publish the blueprints, saying they would promote the fabrication of assault weapons that are illegal in the state. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are a member listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts showers and thunderstorms on Friday, mainly after 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce hail and gusty winds. Should be a high of 81 on Friday, a low of 63 Friday night, with more chances of showers and thunderstorms before 5 a.m. Saturday, there's only a 30% chance of rain, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m. Otherwise, it should be partly sunny with a high near 79 and a low around 59. Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 77 and a low around 59. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
Godspeed You Black Emperor returned to the Basilica Hudson on August 9th. Here's Godspeed You Black Emperor with Static from Lift Your Skinny Fists 2000 release.
if we were together? I feel love should be enough to get it easily done. Maybe love is competition that makes us raise the bar and better ourselves. We could be so good if we work together.
Here's Mamadou Kelly with the song Haria, 2018 new music from the record Ni Alalia, before his July 27th performance at the Half Moon in Hudson.
Fona ije madam kama banango haira yer babo yo wanda hoy yer nya yo wanda hoy yer babo yo wanda hoy. Yer har mo yo wanda hoy, yer hoy mo yo wanda hoy. Bisa fona ije madam, dama banango hayra. Thank you.
yo wanda bui yer babo yo wanda bui yer kero yo wanda bui yer kaino yo wanda bui isa fona ije madam kama bana go haira
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And now we have an update on the effort to divest New York State pension funds from fossil fuels.
So we're here with Jordan Dale, who is up there in Rockland County, is active with the Divest New York movement. Jordan, why are groups calling for the state and other public pension funds to be divested from fossil fuels?
To my mind, there are three reasons. The first is the moral reason. We live in an age where climate change threatens to destroy the planet and cause untold suffering among human beings. And the fossil fuel industry is what's causing climate change. It is immoral for us to be supporting the fossil fuel industry with our dollars and seeking to make money off an activity that is destroying the planet. There is the financial or fiduciary reason. We live in a world in which most of the world's countries, there's one notable exception, have committed to transitioning from fossil fuels to renewable energy sources. And as this happens, it is inevitable that the value of fossil fuel companies is going to go down. It's already happened with coal. People who are invested in coal lost a ton of money. We believe that it's only a matter of time before it happens with oil and gas as well. It is foolish for New York State, which has the stated policy also of transitioning to renewables, to be invested in an industry that is bound to lose money over the next some odd years. And the third reason is a leadership reason. Our country's federal government right now is dominated by the oil industry and a group of people who don't have a constructive climate change policy. And so if we in the United States are going to make a difference, it has to happen on the local level. New York State has a huge responsibility to be a leader in the absence of leadership from the federal government. And when New York State divests, it will pave the way for other states to divest, and it will raise a lot of consciousness among the people of New York State and the people of our country about just how dangerous climate change is.
Have any other governments or institution agreed to divest fossil fuels at this point?
Well, the most recent headline is that the country of Ireland has committed to divesting. Obviously, the city of New York is one of the big headlines in the past year. The city of New York is committed to divesting and is working on how to do that in a responsible way. The Catholic Church has advocated for divestment. Norway's Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is the largest fund in the world, $1 trillion, Norway is a country that has built its wealth on the oil industry. They have committed to divesting, and believe me, if the Norwegians understand that this is a smart thing to do, we should pay attention.
Now, in New York State, I understand that the present state controller has said that he thinks it's probably more effective if he remains with investment in companies like Exxon and Shell, and use the shareholder voting rights to try to pressure from the inside these companies to, change some of their practices with respect to climate change. How realistic do you think this approach is?
I think it's utter foolishness. Shareholder action can be very effective when it comes to things like making sure that there are more women on corporate boards. And the comptroller, in fact, should be commended for his work on things like that. But shareholder action cannot be used to get a company to change its core mission. And the core mission of fossil fuel companies is to extract fossil fuels from the ground and bring them to market where they are burned. This is destroying the planet. No amount of shareholder action is going to change that, and continued investment is going to help support it. So it's a foolish position. Frankly, given how smart the comptroller is about so many other things, it's incomprehensible to me that he still embraces that position.
Now, I understand earlier last year the governor did come out and supported the divestment. He himself does not have a direct role, but he has, with the controller, convened, I guess, a panel to look at sort of the issue of the climate impact of the state pension fund. What would you like to see come out of this process?
Well, I'd like to see the panel, for the reasons stated, take the position that divestment is the wisest public policy for the state pension fund to pursue. And I also would like to see Governor Cuomo ramp up his role. The governor can put divestment in the state budget, which would make it happen. His failure to do so is unfortunate. If he really believes in divestment, he has the ability to make something happen, and he should use that ability.
Now, in recent months, some of the unions representing various former government workers, particularly the police and the firemen, have raised questions that they worry that the act of divestment would actually, you know, cost them money. That I guess the pension value would go down if it didn't have fossil fuels like Exxon in it. How would you respond to some of those concerns?
Well, two responses. First of all, the pension benefits of state union employees are guaranteed by the state constitution. So even if divestment dilutes the strength of the pension fund, union members' pension benefits will not be harmed. And in fact, it's the taxpayers who would absorb that loss, not pension members. However, even more important is the fact that the investment fund is much more likely to do better without fossil fuels than with them. And in fact, having fossil fuels in the investment fund is an enormous liability. If oil and gas holdings end up doing what coal holdings have done, we're going to lose millions and millions of dollars. Corporate Knights did a study which showed that if New York State had divested when they were first asked to do so, they would have been $5 billion better off only 4 years later. And so I understand the concerns of our hardworking union employees, and I certainly would not want to do anything that jeopardized their benefits, but their benefits are not endangered by divestment, and their benefits are threatened, and all of the taxpayers are threatened if we continue to hold on to fossil fuel securities that are going to lose money.
If any of our listeners out there are interested either in getting more information about the issue of divestment and the role that fossil fuels play in climate change, or you know, want to make their voices heard on this issue, you know, what are some of the things they could do?
Well, we have a coalition which is called Divest New York, and they could reach out to Divest New York through the radio.
We'll be right back. Okay, now you can start. Just read that, and you can improvise, you know, just...
Hi, my name is Tara Klein. I'm from Northeast Parent and Child Society, the largest foster care provider in upstate New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, New York.
Excellent. Perfect.
Nervous.
WGXC believes in hands-on, two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and much, much more. The G and C stand for Green and Columbia Counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising, while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. We start show off with the lead organizer for Citizen Action, Jamaica Miles. On Saturday, she will be moderating a panel discussion and community conversation titled Schools Not Jails. Jamaica, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you for inviting me to come in.
Of course. So to start, what is Citizen Action of New York and what kind of work do y'all do?
Sure. Citizen Action of New York is a membership grassroots organization that fights for racial, social, economic, and environmental justice. And we do this with an anti-racism lens, lifting up the voices of the most impacted people, looking to create big systemic and institutional changes.
Awesome. And so as we mentioned in the lead, you're going to be moderating a panel discussion and community conversation about schools, not jails.
Yes.
On Saturday. Who is on the panel and what inspired you to have this event right now?
Sure. So super excited for the panelists we're going to have, which include the Albany City School Superintendent, Kawita Adams, as well as a member of the Capital Area Against Mass Incarceration Steering Committee, Jackie C. Williams. And then also New York City Council Member Jumani Williams.
Awesome.
All of them have serious expertise in advocating for students, for public schools, advocating to end mass incarceration and have police accountability. So it's really going to be a great conversation.
And can you talk about why you're having this right now? Like what this moment brings to it?
So when we think about schools, not jails, I wish I could say this is a new conversation. I wish I could say this tagline is something that is not what we've seen before and we really need to rally the troops. But unfortunately, we're looking at systemic issues that have been part of our public schools and our criminal justice system for far too long. And we say no more, right? We can't keep going forward and seeing that our schools are underfunded, seeing that kids are pushed out and end up in our criminal justice system, that there is this sweeping wave of mass incarceration that only gets worse. It's not getting better. And we need to have that dialogue and those conversations. And it won't just be a panel discussion. We're going to hear from community members across the Capital District, hear their thoughts, and also talk about how do we create that change.
This sounds like a really amazing and powerful event. I want to step back and kind of talk about the issues at hand. Can you kind of explain for our listeners what the school-to-prison pipeline is and what causes it?
Sure. School-to-prison pipeline is the systems and policies that push predominantly our Black and brown children out of schools and into our criminal justice system far too early and without necessity. We're talking about children, right? Whether they're 16, 17, 18, a lot of times they're even younger than that. And they do that through a number of ways, including suspensions, right? We're not looking at interventions early on, but suspending students and they're outside. Increased police presence in public schools so that you've now militarized the building that is supposed to already be a safe place, but you're treating children like criminals, walking through metal detectors and searching their bags instead of treating them like children and offering them that safe and warm space while they watch the adults walk through a separate door and they don't have that issue, right? The adults are walking in, they don't have to go through metal detectors, but the kids, that, you know, we're scrutinizing them. And when they do one thing wrong, if they're tired, they're being yelled at. So it pushes them out of the schools, puts them in closer proximity and sometimes direct contact with our criminal justice system. And it's that much harder to get them back.
I saw also that New York State ranks 49th in the nation in terms of equity in school funding, which is terrifying to me. Can you talk about how this happens and kind of the effects of this?
Right. So New York, the progressive state, that's what we're told. We are the progressive state. We have the most segregated schools in the nation. That's what we're looking at. So when we look at equity, we're talking about how much funding is necessary for a student to receive a quality education that allows them to fully succeed, to be college or career ready. In Troy, those city schools are owed more than $13 million a year. Owed. They're not asking for it. It's what they're supposed to receive, and they're not every single year. In Albany, $34 million a year. Albany City School District, Schenectady City School District, $44 million a year. And we're talking about schools that are predominantly black and brown and living in poverty. That's what inequity looks like in New York State.
Can I just chime in real quick? First of all, I want to say I'm a big fan of your work.
Oh, thank you.
I've long since followed your community activism. I'm a little saddened that you don't have your partner with you. You know who I'm talking about. Your little
My son's out in the other room with his big sister.
Because he's usually everywhere and steals the show.
Yes.
But let me continue to move on. So the funding component of it, do you say it's part of the politician's fault? Or who should be more aggressively advocating for those funds to be received in the local municipalities so our kids will get that?
Well, it's interesting that you would say that because 8 years ago, our governor, Andrew Cuomo, current governor, ran and said, I'm going to fully fund these schools. I'm going to give money to our children. And then instead, we saw a $1.3 billion cut that went to corporations and businesses. He did the exact opposite. So all the way from the governor on down, there have been legislators, both in the Senate and the Assembly, but more so typically in the Assembly, that push and fight and stand up and say, let's fully fund, let's make sure we have fair taxes on those that can afford it, right? Let's not continue to tax the working poor. Let's increase taxes on the super rich, the 1%, and increase our revenue by $4.2 billion so that we can, because we're one of the richest states in the country, in the richest country in the world. It's not that we can't afford it. It's that our legislators in Albany choose to prioritize the 1% over our children every single day. I've seen school districts step up, superintendents like Kawita Adams, as well as Larry Spring and others, call out the legislature and say, listen, these are our children. They're our priority. How can you not give them the money? Parents go to Albany. They take their days off and travel to Albany to talk to legislators and say, my kids don't have enough books. Our classrooms are overcrowded. My kids being suspended. We need restorative practices. And these things cost money. So people are asking. And what we're seeing now is that those legislators that may have a D at the end of their name and not really showing up in what's considered a progressive way are now being primaried. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. So, that's helpful.
Go for it. All right, I want to chime in with one more question then. So do you see this as a systemic problem or just inner city school system opposed to suburban school districts?
Well, so when we look at inner city versus suburban, and think about rural as well, in rural communities, mm-hmm. it's predominantly poor people, right? So mm-hmm. rural communities and inner city communities have a lot in common. That even if you don't have a large population of people of color out in rural communities, you still have a lot of poverty. Those suburban school districts that are predominantly white, that have a tax base where they don't need a lot of money from the state, mm-hmm. they're receiving 100% or more of the funding they're supposed to receive. So for them, they're like, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. We have an equestrian club. Well, my kid doesn't have a math book, but you're riding a horse. Mm-hmm. So suburban schools think that our public school system is perfectly fine. But our rural, poor white students and our inner city, poor, black, brown, marginalized communities are suffering. And it's because the system was set up that way.
Okay.
It was not created to educate black and brown children, and that's a historical fact that we definitely don't have time to go into today.
And before I give it back over to my co-host Guy, our engineer chuckled when you mentioned equestrian club
mm-hmm.
because you talked about him. He was on the equestrian team. No, we're just joking.
It's not true.
No, yeah. But go right ahead, Guy.
Oh, yeah. Is there ever solidarity found between those two, between the rural and the urban communities that are deprived?
Absolutely. And not just on education. We see it on other issues as well. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mass incarceration, there is no doubt that black bodies spend more space inside our criminal justice system proportionately than any other. Mm-hmm. But if you say that 30 or 40% of the population inside the prison was black and brown bodies, that still means 60 to 70% are white. And those are poor white men and women that are inside those facilities, that live in rural communities, that can't afford cash bail because cash bail was meant to punish you without you being convicted.
Mm. Well, Ms. Miles, thank you. It has been a plum pleasing pleasure.
Yes, and I hope to see everyone on Saturday at St. John's Church of God in Christ in Albany.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Jamaica.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. Our hosts love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow to panic. No radio experience is necessary. We're looking for diamonds in the rough. Before taking to the airwaves, you will be thoroughly trained and then set free to create compelling radio for listeners throughout Greene and Columbia County. For more information, contact Lynn at WGXC.org or simply send an email inquiry to apply at WGXC.org. WGXC needs you.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492, with your take for all you hear. Again, that number is 518-291-9492.
Back of your hand, my bottom lip, tell my throat. the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. David Lombardo reports at Capital Confidential that the Republican candidate for governor, Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, vowed July 25th to veto legislation setting up a state-run health insurance system. Democrats hold the assembly and may take the Senate in November, which would mean a health insurance bill could be passed. Molinaro is making a clear difference in himself and Democrats Andrew Cuomo, the incumbent, and Cynthia Nixon, who would both likely sign a health care bill. Molinaro said in a statement, and I quote, New York taxpayers can't afford a $90 billion annual tax increase. New Yorkers deserve the highest quality of care, greater choice, more competition, and lower costs. Mr. Cuomo called the New York Health Care Act, and I quote, a very exciting possibility, end quote, last year. But that's not an answer. He needs to let New Yorkers know now whether he's in favor of a state government takeover of health care or not, end quote. Read the full story at Capital Confidential. The Daily Freeman reports that the post office at 111 Market Street in the village of Saugerties will be named for late U.S. Representative Maurice Hinchey as President Donald Trump signed the bill into law. U.S. Senators Charles Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, both Democrats, and U.S. Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, co-sponsored the measure with U.S. Representative Louise Slaughter, a Democrat from Western New York who died this past March, and announcing the signing July 26. Faso said, and I quote, naming Congressman Hinchey's hometown post office after him is an enduring recognition of his lifelong commitment to public service and the people of upstate New York. I'm glad that after months of work from New York delegation members in both chambers of Congress and both sides of the aisle that this bill has been signed into law, end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Columbia Green Media reports that Columbia County just launched a youth bus for the summer between Philmont and Hudson. The bus for youth in kindergarten through 12th grade is free and leaves from Philmont at 8:25 a.m. with stops in Claverick, Stottsville, Greenport, and Hudson. At 3:15 p.m., the bus leaves Hudson and travels back to Philmont. The City of Hudson's Oakdale Lake Mental Health Association's Youth Clubhouse, Hudson Area Library, and Kite's Nest are all programs that may benefit from the bus. Registration and permission forms available online at tinyurl.com/Hudson-Youth-Bus. Robert Gibson, Commissioner of Columbia County Department of Social Services, said, and I quote, "Summer youth programs have a positive impact. Getting young people to these programs is an important preventive measure, steering people towards positive outcomes and reducing the risk of required rehabilitative services later," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that the Ulster County Department of Health said on July 26 that the Hudson River Kingston Point Beach and the beach at Ulster Landing Park in the town of Ulster and Ripton Wreck on the Wallkill River in Esophis have all been reopened to swimmers. The Rip Van Winkle Beach in Saugerties, the lake at the YMCA's Camp Siwakamano in Shokan, and the Marbletown Beach all still remain closed due to high levels of bacteria in the water. Water test on July 24th led to the announcement. The health department will take another round of tests between the second and third week of August. Saugerties Village Beach on the Esophis Creek was also closed for several days early in July due to high levels of fecal contamination. Ulster County also tested water at Berean Park at the Highland Reservoir, the Rip Van Winkle Campground on the Plattskill Creek in Saugerties, and Lake Mohonk on the Mohonk Mountain House outside of New Platts. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts showers and thunderstorms on Friday, mainly after 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce hail and gusty winds. Should be a high of 81 on Friday, a low of 63 Friday night, with more chances of showers and thunderstorms before 5 a.m. Saturday, there's only a 30% chance of rain, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m. Otherwise, it should be partly sunny with a high near 79 and a low around 59. Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 77 and a low around 59. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Friday, July 27th, Tom Rowe hosts the WGXC Morning Show live from the Acre studio from 9 to 11 a.m., followed by City Folk with Frederick Arnold from 11 until noon. Jared Wijeskoog hosts the Sugar Shack Jukebox after the noon news until 2 o'clock, followed by Hudson Valley Sound, presenting local music and poetry with live performances, interviews, and songs from albums from 2 until 3. On the guest DJ spot this week, we'll be airing a live stream from Hilo in Catskill, live piano karaoke with Paul Leshin beginning at 8 o'clock, and at 9:30 the Friday night vibe session with DJ Var until midnight.
Tune into Transmission Arts on the air Saturday, July 28th on WGXC and Waveform Standing Wave Radio. The Radio Survivor Show on all sorts of radio news at 8 a.m. and on Donald Trump Theater at 9 a.m. Brandon Loker is the radio artist on the Radius Sketchpad Show at 11 a.m. on the radio.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Friday, July 27th, the Jamal Jackson Dance Company is at PS21 in Chatham for a 1 p.m. afternoon performance. Katrina Lanfranco gives a visiting artist lecture at the Luthier Barn Auction Ring in Wasaic, 6 p.m. Friday, July 27th. The Edmund Niall Hook Preserve in Rensselaerville has a potluck and evening hike Friday, July 27th, 6:30 p.m. Sponsored by the Hook Preserve. And there's a full moon scheduled that night. Also, at the Root Cellar in Greenfield, Massachusetts, Friday, July 27th, Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. performs with his band Heavy Blanket. Scott Helen's Guitar Army of One also performs at the Root Cellar in Greenfield, Massachusetts, 7:30 p.m. Friday, July 27th. Also that night, the Ferris Sirjar Trio performs Middle Eastern music, bossa, flamenco, jazz, and pop at PS21 in Chatham, Friday, July 27th. Mamadou Kelly performs at the Half Moon in Hudson that night, too, Friday, July 27th. And the Chatham County Line play bluegrass at the Club Helsinki in Hudson, Friday, July 27th. There's also the Black Dome Music Festival coming to the Wyndham Civic and Performing Arts Center Saturday, July 28th and Sunday, July 29th. The Supertone Honky Tonk Roots and Rock Festival is at the Rojan Park in Copaic on Saturday, July 28th. With all sorts of bands, Bat Fangs, John Hatchet Band, Erica Lewis's Lonesome Doves, Thelma and the Sleaze, Donnie and the Drag, Burt Murder, Black Lake, The Nice Ones, and more. All day in Hillsdale or Copaic, the Rojan Park, Supertone Honky Tonk Roots and Rock Festival, Saturday, July 28th. The Mountain Brauhaus German Festival is on Round Top at the Crystal Brook Mountain Brauhaus, 403 Winter Clove Road. That's Saturday, July 28th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Art O'Mai has aerial actor presentations with drones from Hong Kong and New York, from Wavefarm and E-Team, at the Field Sculpture Park at Omai, Saturday, July 28th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, Igustaman and Jew perform at PS21 in Chatham that night, Saturday, July 28th. The Russian violinist and British-Korean pianist perform all sorts of different styles. And Morning Dress and Patchwork Symphony, excuse me, the Patchwork Symphony from Catskill. Perform at Hilo in Catskill, Saturday, July 28th at 8 p.m. Colton the Maker and DJ Fulatha are at Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson with a record release for Colton the Maker at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson, 8 p.m. Saturday, July 28th. These events and more are online at the WGXC Community Calendar, wgxc.org.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.